Thanks for tuning in to Good Vibrations with Kristen. Are you ready to be inspired?
Do you want to have a greater connection to the earth, each other, and ultimately yourself?
So then join in the conversation with me, Kristen Ace, and
me, Green Diva Meg,
and our fascinating guests to share the light, the laughter, and the illumination of good vibrations. Hey, everybody. Welcome to GVK with Kristen and
Green Diva Meg. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Happy spring almost.
I know. It sort of feels like that way.
Want to like run around with, you know, short sleeve shirt outside.
Yes. I actually have a sleeveless shirt on right now. Hey, we have to say and want to say a great, huge thank you to our sponsor, Marty of Rent-A-Rec.
Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Rec. Yay. And don't let the name fool you, because the cars are beautiful.
Yes.
They're all clean. You wouldn't never know that they might be a little bit older than brand new.
But they are at a great price. And if, also, if you're moving or you need something bigger.
He's got trucks.
That's right.
And a lot of different options. And there's several locations here in northern New Jersey. All you have to do is go to goodvibrationswithkristen.com, all spelled out the way it sounds, and you'll see a link right at the very top to go find out more about Rent-A-Rec, Smarty Marty's Rent-A-Rec, and Rent-A-Recs all over the country.
And also, if you do end up talking with Marty, let him know that you came through Good Vibrations so he can say, yay.
Kristen sent you.
So today we have the most fabulous, wonderful guest, my very, very good friend, Roy Haverlack. He is an actor and he is the co-founder of Skytown Entertainment. Skytown Entertainment produced the short film What Future, which we talked about probably about 6-7 months ago.
Wow.
So everybody needs to keep their eye on that short film because it's making its way around the country. And today, Roy is going to talk with us about serendipity. So, hey, Roy, are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Kristen, Megan, how are you guys?
Hi, Roy.
We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Or sort of here.
Yeah. Sort of here, yes.
So today we were going to talk about serendipity, and I wanted you, because I love this story so much, and I think it's so powerful. I wanted you to tell our listeners about how you got involved in Buddhism.
I would love to tell that story. One thing I wanted to just share also, I don't know, you guys may already know this, or some of your listeners may or may not know the history behind the word serendipity. I was thinking, I was doing chores this morning, and as I was getting ready to get on the phone with you guys for the podcast, about 30 minutes ago, I was like, you know, maybe I should, like, kind of look up, like, the actual definition of
You know, that's a really good idea, because it's a word we use all the time, but I'll bet you a lot of people don't know the actual
I just
meaning
love the sound
it.
Of the word serendipity. It sounds so fun. It's fun to say.
It sounds so magical and perfect. And
it is.
The idea, right, that comes to mind when we say something happened serendipitously, sort of, you know, right place, right time, or, you know, unexpectedly.
Right.
And all that. And I was really interested to find out when I looked. Well, first of all, the actual definition is, there are three. One says an aptitude for making desirable discoveries by accident.
Mm-hmm.
The other is good fortune or luck.
Yes.
And then again, sort of the same thing, the faculty of making fortunate discoveries by accident. So then I decided to actually look up the origin of the word and the history, and didn't really do, you know, a lot of digging, but easily on Google found very quickly that it was a word that was coined by a gentleman, Horace Walpole.
Mm.
And I'm not sure who that is, but he...
Is he the fence maker? There's a company called Walpole that makes all kinds of cool, expensive mailboxes.
Oh. Maybe they started making fences back in the 1700s, because he was around for like 1717 to 1792.
Wow!
So, yeah. And it was in a letter to someone they describe as Mann, M-A-N-N. Mm. So I'm not sure who that is either, but he said that he formed this word, serendipity, from a Persian fairy tale entitled The Three Princes of Serendip, and whose heroes, and then in quotes says, were always making discoveries by accidents and sagacity, of things they were not in quest of.
Oh, sagacity. What a cool word is that?
That's another word we have to look up.
Yeah, and I did.
Oh, yay! Thank you, because I was like, oh, shit, I better.
So, you know, sagacious is sort of another use of the word, not a word, not an S-A-T word that I use in my daily life.
Right. Yeah, an S-A-T word, right.
But meaning insight or wisdom.
Oh.
So I also found it very interesting that, you know, they were these heroes of this fairy tale, right, the princes of Serendip, making discoveries by accident, but also through insight and wisdom. So I guess by their, you know, I'd have to read the story, but, you know, through their travails. I did read one thing that said, that intimated something about the fairy tale. They were trying to discern the nature of a camel. I don't realize, so I'm not really sure what their whole journey was all about, but
yeah.
To be having these discoveries, I guess, or experiences, and I think based on the wisdom they could gain from that, you know, they were just, things were, I guess, seemingly magically coming to them. And also it was interesting that the name Serendip was actually from an old name for Ceylon, which is, of course, modern Sri Lanka, and it's actually an Arabic origin of the word Sarandib. So that's about as deep as I got into.
Well, that's pretty deep.
Yeah.
And
that's
I have to say that, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking magic and wisdom and insight, and I relate all of that back to divinity. So I think, wow, these three princes, they were using wisdom and insight, but really what they were doing is they were opening up to divine guidance and intervention. Well, and when we don't, I know you want to say something, and I just want to say when we don't cut ourselves off from that, we do receive magical experiences, or we find something that we didn't know we were even looking for, but something that is really wonderful for us.
I was really curious in the definitions that you read. The one of them was the attribute of, like, being in the right place at the right time, or I don't remember the words, but
right. Yes, Megan. Actually, very, very interesting to point that out. An aptitude.
And yeah. I'm thinking now. I don't know how you have an aptitude to accidentally.
Yeah, but don't you know that there are lucky people, right? You go, well, oh, that person's so lucky.
But I think it does have to do with what Kristen's talking about in that, you know, if you're kind of centered and open and in the moment and following your divine guidance and your inner guidance that says, maybe you ought to go to that, you know, down the street today to talk to Sally.
Right.
And you're like, why? I don't know. Just go.
Right.
So you go, and then Sally's like crying in her cup and she needs help, and you're like, wow. Well, there you go. I mean, I'm just making up circumstance.
We have
lots of
serendipitous stories between the three of us, and that's why I want you to tell this. And as you tell the story of your, as your experience into Buddhism, all of the things that you just talked about are going to come into play. All of the being in the right place at the right time, the insight, the wisdom to listen, the magic of something popping into your life.
Yes, exactly. And right before I get into the story, the perspective that I've been able to gain from my practice of Nichiren Buddhism for the last 5 years is that, or rather, one of the core principles is the understanding of the law of cause and effect. Right? That you make a cause. For every cause that is made, there is an effect, and there's good causes, there's bad causes, and, we see the effect of those either immediately or at some point
later
down the road in our lives, sure. And also from the standpoint of time without beginning and the three existences of past, present, and future.
Explain to our listeners what that means to you.
Oh, yeah.
Time without beginning.
Right, thank you. That life. The belief, the understanding that life is eternal, and everything is
continual,
you know, a cycle, and has been happening for hundreds, thousands, millions, bajillions of years,
right?
So, thinking about this being here in this lifetime, this existence is the effect of, you know, causes made in the remote past.
Well, and the Native Americans believe seven generations. So what you do now affects us through seven generations. So what we, how we are in our world, even in our thoughts, will have an effect that echoes out to seven generations. And so do you really want to be making that choice in this moment, considering that seven generations from now it may destroy something really vital, or it may enhance something really beautiful?
Yeah, and that exactly. It's exactly what we do has an effect. It's like a ripple effect.
Right.
Right. If that goes out, keeps sending out vibrations into the universe, and then, you know, all things being connected, right, that it's going to manifest in some way, shape, or form that our actions have effect. You know, bad actions may have consequences. Good actions will have,
and I guess that's the whole concept between this company, Seventh Generation, and this is not a plug for them necessarily, but that's the concept of why they do what they do in terms of their product lines are all designed to create a more sustainable Earth future for seven generations.
That's right. But time being continuous, I wanted to go back to that for 1 second about, you know, people tend to, we obviously we focus on our lives in this moment as in this lifetime, but that because energy, that's been proven by science, energy does not die.
Right.
It does not die. So this is just one aspect of our being on this planet.
Right, like life force, right? Life force slash energy, like you're saying.
Right.
Exactly, does not die. The form that it takes will change.
Correct.
Disintegrate our bodies, for instance, will obviously, you know, we're getting older every second, whether we admit it
or
not.
Okay, I'm just crying now.
And, you know, we will, this body will, like it or not, it may not sound so pretty, but it will decay and cease to exist. But yes, what continues
is our spirit.
That life force. Right?
That's
the spirit, the energy. And we'll continue on into the next existence.
But for me, anyway, I think about where I started as a little child and where I am now, and having the knowledge that I have and the divine access that I have opened up to, I think about how do I energetically want to move that out into the world now compared to, say, when I was, 17, 18. Vastly different.
Right.
And then what does that perpetuate for me as a soul? Or what does that perpetuate for the planet that I'm living on right now, or my children, or the animals around me? Mm-hmm. So as that no time cycle moves around, I'm still part of what happens energetically, and I don't want to devalue the importance of what I put out into the world, because it's going to keep going. It's going to be keep cycling out there.
Exactly.
I had a weird thought while you were talking about how our bodies are, you know, sort of slowly disintegrating and, you know, degenerating. I was like, oh. but I thought, how ironic that in theory, many of us get wiser as time goes on. I like to think that's happening.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
And that we get, like, our vibrations get lighter and lighter and higher as we get, you know, our bodies start to, and then until we poof, you know, we're out of our body. I don't know. I just had this weird visual while you guys were talking.
I wonder if it's meant that way on Earth.
It sure seems like it.
Although I have to say that my kids vibrate pretty darn high.
Yeah.
And like way higher than I did when I was their age.
So imagine what they're going to be like when they're, you know, when they're mature, 50s or whatever.
Wow.
Mature.
Exactly. And while we're still, you know, every moment that you that we're alive, you know, one extra day, just, you know, one extra day is worth more than all the treasures in the universe. So every day that we are alive, we have the opportunity, right, to be making good causes. And youthful, I mean, again, we're progressing toward, you know, old age, and yes, we're talking about bodies decaying. I mean, what remains youthful, though, is what can we can still maintain a work at maintaining a youthful spirit.
That's right. It's not just about the body. It's about energetically what you're putting out there.
You look at the Dalai Lama, and he's like a child. He's like this happy,
right.
very vibrant, light. Right. He giggles. He's, you know, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
And you can.
I'm working it.
We can. And actually, that might be a good segue into the my...
Yes.
I would say discovery, or rather awakening to my Buddhist practice, which is with the Soka Gakkai International, or otherwise SGI USA. It's a global Buddhist lay organization, and many of you, your listeners, you guys may have also heard of Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, which is
what
we chant.
Oh, that's where that comes from.
Roy, can you tell me what it means? What does that mean?
Oh, I forgot about that. Very good question, actually. literally translated, it's four words, Nam, and then Myoho.
Myoho is
Renge.
Renge Kyo.
Merengue? Kyo. Is that like Merengue the dance? Merengue?
No.
Almost, it just sounds just like, exactly. Merengue, just leave off the ma.
Oh, okay.
And so, Myoho Renge Kyo is actually, not to get too deep, but it's the title of the Lotus Sutra.
Which is
the highest teaching of the original Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, in India. Literally the title, Myoho Renge Kyo, which is the universal law of cause and effect in the universe, created through sound. So I can actually break it down a little easier for you. So we say Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. Nam is a Sanskrit word that was added to the title, which actually literally means devotion to. So it's the devotion of our lives to the mystic law, which is Myoho.
Myoho is the mystic law.
The essential law of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
All things being connected and cause and effect, as I was saying before. Renge literally means lotus flower, which seeds, I didn't know this clearly before starting this practice, the lotus flower actually seeds and blooms at the same time. So where its roots are rooted in the muck and mud of their environment, very kind of swampy environment, you can kind of also equate that to the, you know, the real grit of life.
That's right.
At the same time, it also flowers. So the lotus flower is a real symbol of the simultaneity of cause and effect, that it actually exists at the same time. So while the roots are rooted in the mud, there's also a beautiful lotus flower blossom.
Well, I'm just going to interrupt and say that a good friend of ours, Janet Connor, who wrote the book The Lotus and the Lily, which is a workbook that I have now been working with for 2 years, talks at length about this and using the words of Buddhist in Christ is how she wrote this book, and she talks a lot about the lotus flower, and she talks about this in her book. And when you're saying it, I'm like, oh my God, of course, it all ties in together. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but that was just very exciting for me.
Totally forgot the Nam Myoho.
Oh no,
Renge Kyo, I know. And I love that chant.
I do too. I do too.
I'm not a Buddhist, but I love that piece.
But there's something very vibrationally comfortable about that, about those words together.
Yeah.
You know, I was taught that by some Catholic nuns, believe it or not.
Really?
I was taught, yes.
You were taught Nam-myoho Renge Kyo from Catholic nuns.
Yeah, these Buddha Catholic nuns that run this far out. It's up in upstate New York. No, it might be Pennsylvania or New... I think it's Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Anyway, doesn't matter. I'll figure it out and I'll let you know. But they have a retreat. And they do these fabulous... And there was a woman there who was channeling angels and they were doing all kinds of meditation. But... and this one nun does astrological readings, and she did a reading for each person that was unbelievable. It was so Perfect.
Profound.
And anyway, and in one of the meditations, she taught us about the Nam Myoho Renge Kyo.
Wow. Nuns are so progressive.
Oh, these are the
best.
Yeah,
they are progressive,
aren't
they?
These are the best nuns.
The women to be progressive.
We need the nuns to be taken over now.
In a million years, I'm not Catholic, but I never would have imagined.
No.
Right?
No.
I know. Yeah, I was raised a pseudo Roman Catholic. I always like to say. going to sort of not really very strict, but you go to church here and there for certain holidays. And
right.
Some years you do, some years you don't.
You get ash on your forehead on Ash Wednesday?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No. We're really very strict. And I was always a very, spiritual feeling person, right?
Yes.
And I actually think something about, whereas I really, there was certainly a beauty to, I guess, aspects of, the church and the stories and the history and what I could barely discern or understand as a kid, or having, going to Sunday school because I had to go to Sunday school so I could, make my confirmation and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
It seems very by rote. But, I always kind of felt like, I don't know why. Like, the whole idea of having been born of original sin and feeling like I was, marked or...
Yeah, I never liked that either.
Yeah.
Well, as long as when you and I knew each other way back when in our early 20s or late 20s, one of the reasons I was attracted to you as a human being was your spiritual quest and your questions, and I was on the same quest and just kind of our spiritual wonderings. That's one of the things that that kind of drew me to you.
We had that in common. I think
we did.
Was definitely a bond between us was that seeking spirit that we both had and still do have.
Right. That's right. So I'm sorry I interrupted your story about the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo.
Yeah, we got sidetracked because that was cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I guess to kind of get to the story of how I was reawakened, introduced to this Buddhism was that, about 6 years ago, I was meeting my business partner, Jane, who you interviewed regarding What Future. She produced that. The film What Future out in L.A.
Jane Petrov,
yes. We were meeting up to go visit our accountant to do taxes, and not anything related to that, but that particular morning I had woken up and was just feeling a little heavy and thinking, life is good. I've got a lot to be grateful and happy for, but something deep down sort of just seemed to be missing. I guess you could call it a deeper meaning or purpose or needing a deeper, wanting a deeper connection to something, and didn't really quite understand or know what that was. And again, having said that, I've always considered myself a very spiritual person, but not really having any kind of a practice or anything that I was connected to. I dusted off a few self-help books off the shelf that I had laying around. And I had brought them to the Starbucks where we were going to meet a little bit before and chat before the accountant. And so when Jane arrived, we talked nothing of taxes and accounting. I was like, just sort of sharing with her how I was feeling that day in the moment. And I was like, here's how I'm feeling, and I don't know. And I pulled out some of the books. I was like, I don't know, maybe I need to try this again or do this. I just need to... don't know what this funk is about. I feel like I have everything to sort of be appreciative for, but something's missing. And I did say, I don't know, maybe I should try Buddhism. And I didn't even really know what that was.
Right.
Except actually, like Megan was saying, I knew that 15 years earlier I had seen the movie What's Love Got to Do with It?
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
That Tina Turner did this chant, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and pretty much,
changed her life.
Kicked butt and changed her life. And I thought, well, that was pretty cool. So I don't know. Maybe just something to that. And so then it went about our day. That was about it. Later that afternoon, we were back in the office, and Jane had gotten an email, I imagine, from a colleague of hers who I had met once or twice out in L.A., a woman by the name of Susan DeMonte, an actress friend of ours, who was performing her one-woman show that year in the Fringe Festival. And she was like, oh, Susan's in town, and she's doing her show, and we should go. And I was just sort of in a low life state, life condition kind of state, and I remember thinking, like, oh, gee, you know, not real high on my priority list. You know, you're going to check out a one-woman show and the Fringe Festival. And, and as soon as I had that thought, I thought, you know, I met Susan once or twice. She's a really great lady. I remember liking her and thought, oh, you know, Roy, stop it. You know, go you got to go support. Of course you're going to go see the show.
Right.
On Friday night.
So, and to support our artist friends. And
exactly.
Yeah.
And so we did. And I actually had met Susan a couple years earlier, and I remembered her. Well, I didn't remember, but I do know that she was talking about Buddhism and something about chanting. But, like, really that didn't compute. Like, that was not... That was just going over my head. That wasn't something I was locking into. So we go to the show to find out. It's basically an amazing life story of her overcoming all these obstacles in her life from, being a child actress and model and dealing with anorexia and other family issues and family karma, and actually battling and winning over an 18-year battle with Crohn's disease, which she, you know, had like three near-death experiences. And then there was this thing about how she was introduced to chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And I'm sort of just so involved and absorbed in the story. Again, this whole Buddhism thing, it's going over my head.
Right, right.
I'm not. It's not computing, so I'm just thinking, wow, this is amazing. She's got this incredible life. I'm so glad I came to this show. At the end of the show, there was some of the people in the audience that Susan knew, and we all decided to go out for some drinks and a bite to eat afterwards, and so we did that, and there was another woman that I had met that evening, and they were both, her name was Mary Gorman, another actress, a colleague, friend who I just met that evening. And we're hanging out at this restaurant, wherever, afterwards, and I remember through the piped-in jazz music that was playing, I eventually started overhearing Susan and Mary's conversation, and all of a sudden I'm hearing them talking very compassionately about people they knew, and so-and-so who's still chanting, and this one's doing really well, and this and that, and I'm hearing Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and at that moment, my ears really pricked up. It computed. I was like,
oh, that your spirit opened. Right.
That's what I was thinking about the other day. And I remember tapping Mary on the shoulder, and I had said, excuse me, can you explain what it is to me that you're talking about? Because I think I need to do this. And long story short, she was sort of surprised and delighted and had a card and showed me the words Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, how to pronounce them, and she explained a little bit about the SGI and the organization, and that there just happened to be an introduction meeting the next evening, and that she said I was welcome to go, and I'm like, I'm there. We were leaving the restaurant, and she was getting into a cab. I remember saying, I'll see you tomorrow night. I'll be there. And I remember thinking, I bet she doesn't think I'm going to show up.
Oh, right.
And I did. And actually, I did, and started chanting Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and literally that the rest has been, you know, it's been almost a six-year practice since then.
Wow. And obviously, that feeling of that sort of empty feeling has been filled.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And that's... Thank you so much for that.
And the truth is, it's not even that much serendipity. I mean, I guess what I heard was he was ready.
He was ready, and
the message got through.
Serendipity in that
he
just happened to mention to Jane, who happened to mention, oh, we're going to go to this friend's show, who happened to be talking about Buddhism, who happened to go out. You know what I mean? All of those events. Like, if he hadn't said to Jane, you know, this, I'm having these feelings. And if Jane didn't say, let's go to the show at all, that's serendipity.
Yeah.
Boom,
exactly.
Boom, boom, boom. You were ready. But I think serendipity is that we're ready. We just don't know it sometimes. We just don't know. Oh, there's an opening. And
it's like it's saying yes or it's going into, when you're not feeling it, it's like picking up and going and challenging yourself against, you know,
to get out of that
negative feeling.
That's right.
Right.
We're going to move out of the slump and we're just going to say yes. And we're just going to go out there and see what happens with no other ambition other than I need to get out of where I am. So
how can people find out more about you or SGI or whatever?
Oh, thanks for asking, Megan. If anybody would like to find out more about what we do at SkyTown Entertainment, they can certainly go to skytownentertainment.com, and there's a website that they can learn all about the work that we do and have fun clicking on samples and seeing videos and testimonials and all that kind of fun stuff. And if any one of your listeners at all is interested in seeking out more information about the SGI USA, that's also really simple. There is a website which is sgi-usa.org. And it's this Buddhism is actually practiced in and only since the 60s, about like the I think I've got my timeline right, somewhere in the early 1960s, this practice went from having only been practiced in about 750,000 households in Japan to spreading worldwide to where it's now in over 192 countries and practiced by over 12 million people.
Yes.
And that's really it. It's really that, you know, anybody can chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, and it's the understanding that we are, as a shared humanity, that everybody possesses the Buddha nature.
That's
is a Buddha, has the potential for actually limitless.
It's enlightenment, isn't it, Roy? Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's enlightenment?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It is exactly that, and that having had the rare good fortune of being born human beings at this time, and being able to chant Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, that we can actually tap into, you know, align ourselves with, get into rhythm with the universal law of the universe, and bring forth that, you know, unlock that unlimited possibility potential within our lives in this lifetime. So it's like not something you have to do, you know, lifetime after lifetime to get your karma, or, you know, wait till you reach nirvana. It's like we can
have it now.
Well, I'm so thrilled to have the reminder, and also the definition of serendipity was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thank you,
really
Roy.
Beautiful.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, guys.
Well, we're going to sign off now, Roy. This has been very interesting and exciting and uplifting, and I will have all of SkyTown's information on my blog. I will also get the SGI's information on my blog, so all of my listeners can go there and link right to you and right to SGI. And I thank you so much for your time, and I hope you want to come back someday.
I would love to. I could actually sit with you guys all afternoon. time. I feel like we're just getting started.
We are.
Well, we want to get you into the studio one of these days.
Okay, that would be fantastic. I would love to see you guys out in New Jersey.
All right, great, Roy. Thank you so much. And you have a great rest of your weekend, and we will connect with you soon.
I will. Enjoy the warm weather post-polar vortex.
Thanks, Roy. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye, thank Roy.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, thank you so much. This was so engaging. I'm still on another planet, actually. But we do have to say goodbye. So have a great day.
Bye-bye.
I love you. We hope that you found this episode of GVK inspiring. And to raise your vibration even higher, visit my website at goodvibrationswithkristen.com.
And don't forget to like Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook.
What inspires you?
Write us, let us know, so we can share your ideas on the show.
And meanwhile, keep listening, keep connecting, and know that you are divinely guided.